All right. Well, welcome to Mercy Road Church, everybody. It is the fifth Sunday of the month. And so as we continue in our sermon series, He Gets It, I want to invite any kid who is interested in a piece of candy to come up here and have a little chat with me. Devin's going to lead us off as an old kid, a seventh grader. Come on up here because Devin likes candy. Can you be the candy passer outer? All right. Anyone else? You guys don't like candy? You're not into that? Abel, you are. All right. And why don't you guys just take a seat up here, find a cozy spot. Hey, Michaela, can you stay up here? I got to ask you guys a few questions because you guys are so smart. Come on and have a little chair, okay? So, yeah, you can sit in the stool up there, buddy. So, I'm Pastor Mike, if I haven't met you guys, and today we're going to talk about bullying. Do you guys know what bullying is? What is it?
Somebody bullies you and, like, being mean and making fun of the stuff that you wear.
Yeah? So they're mean when someone's mean to somebody and make fun of, like, what you wear and stuff like that? Have you guys ever been bullied? How did that make you guys feel?
Sad.
Sad? Sad? Have you guys ever bullied anybody else?
No.
No? Some people pushed you?
Yeah.
At
school.
What do you think we should do if we get bullied?
Maybe talk to God to make it stop.
Say that again?
Maybe talk to God and make it stop.
Talk to God to make it stop and pray? Yes. Could we talk
to... Maybe tell a grown-up.
Tell a grown-up. That's a good one, too.
Or you can tell your teacher.
Teacher? You guys are so smart. You guys really should just preach the rest of this sermon, I think. So, I want to... Thank you guys for being up here and for being in church. Do you know why that we have you guys stay with us in church the fifth Sunday of every month? Because we love you so much and we want to teach you that this is what adults do and it's what kids do. We all worship. We're all made to worship God. And so we do that as a big family together on the fifth Sunday of the month. That only happens a few times a year. So thanks for coming. I'm going to ask Devin to stay up and we're going to chat, but can you give the kids here a big clap? Clap. All right. High five. Oh, grab a candy. Grab a candy. Did you get a candy? We're good. All right. All right, Devin, here's your mic. I just have a seat there, buddy. So Devin is in seventh grade, and we are talking about bullying today in this sermon series. When I was in seventh grade, Devin, they had a term for us. They called us sevies. Do they still call you that? And that was a long time ago when I was in seventh grade. But we go to the same middle school, McGuire. That's where I went. That's where you go. Devin is in our treehouse program on Wednesday nights. And you're just one of my favorite people, Devin. You're a leader. And you kind of know what's cool. And you know that I don't really know what's cool.
Yeah.
And so he kind of explains things to me when I don't really understand what's going on with kids. So could you explain to me and to everyone here, like, what's it like in middle school with bullying? Do people do that?
Yeah, it still goes on today on the internet.
You talk real close to the microphone.
It still goes on today, like, on the internet. People like to say bad things about you or your, like, outfit's, like, bad or make you say that you're ugly or stuff like that. And then in my opinion, I don't think that's right for anyone to go through that or, like, feel down about yourself because you're you, you're beautiful, you should be who you are and to be the person that you
are
today.
That's good insight. But it's tough because online, it's hard to fight back, right?
Yeah.
And they can say things and they don't have to say it to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Do other kids stick up for kids or is that not a thing?
Well, not as much because people are scared.
People are scared to stick up?
Yeah,
what are they scared about?
Probably them getting their feelings hurt or probably like getting into fights and stuff like that.
Or they would be targeted to
be
bullied?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What advice would you have for any kids who are getting bullied, picked on?
To just stand up for yourself, talk to a grown-up or your friends that are you really close with, and let your friends be there for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing, Devin. Can you give Devin a hand?
Yeah.
Proud of you, buddy. Thanks, Devin, and thanks, kids. So we are in this series called He Gets It, and really what we're saying in this series is God is good, God is great, He's loving, He's all-powerful, But what we often forget is that when we suffer in life, when we go through painful things, God actually relates to us. You see how that rhymes? God is good, God is great. When we suffer, he relates. And this does not explain in all nuance why God allows bad things to happen and evil in the world. And there's good reasons for that, free will being one of them. But what it does do is it profoundly comforts me. If I believe, and if I remind myself on a regular basis that when I'm going through something painful, when I'm experiencing something even evil or going through suffering, God actually relates to that in an intimate way, there's a profound comfort there. And it draws me closer to God in prayer because that means he's a subject matter expert on whatever I'm going through. The Bible says about Jesus, we don't have a high priest. This is Hebraic language to talk about the Messiah. We don't have a high priest that we can't relate to. We have one that we can relate to. He's gone through everything we've gone through and more. And so he is our leader as we navigate difficult things. In week one of this series, we started out and said, if you've ever been abandoned in life, someone just walked out on you or betrayed, that happened to Jesus too. And we looked at the passion narrative, the week leading up to the crucifixion in our gospel accounts. And we identified with Christ, and that pushed us deeper into prayer. That was week one. In week two, we talked about, what did we talk about in week two? Quick quiz, anybody? Accused. I was going to accuse you of not listening. If you've ever been accused, falsely accused, or just kind of misunderstood, that's a painful thing, right? Where people just, they don't get it. Jesus experienced that too. And today, if you've ever been bullied, Jesus gets it. Now, bullied is kind of the word we use in our cultural moment today. Mocked is the literal word in the scriptures. So we're actually going to go to Matthew chapter 27, if you want to pull that up on your smartphones or in your Bible. We're going low screen tech today for kids church. And we're going to pick it up at 27, Matthew 27, verse 27. The heading in my NIV says, the soldiers mock Jesus. This comes right after, by the way, the trial that happens in the middle of the night. I was on jury duty last year. I was the foreman of a jury on a sexual assault case. It was a very difficult leadership experience for me. But as hard as it was, it would have been a lot more difficult if it would have happened at 2 in the morning. That's what happened to Jesus. He was unfairly tried in the middle of the night. They're just trying to take him out, convicted of blasphemy, claiming to be the Messiah. And now he's handed over to the authorities, and the Roman soldiers are mocking Jesus. It's like the ultimate bullying snapshot in scripture, and it's happening to the best person that has ever existed, that ever will exist. The soldiers mock Jesus, verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. So that's at least 30 soldiers, probably more. They stripped him. So they ripped his clothes off, and they put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Verse 32, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink. That's a powerful telling of events. Now, some of us aren't Christians here. You're exploring faith, and most of us are followers of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're in that camp, if you've trusted in Jesus, what he says about reality, then you and I believe that Jesus is not just a nice guy. He is God showing up in the flesh. He is the very source of all love and beauty and goodness and joy. He is perfection. He has never made a selfish or an evil choice. Contrast that to us. We have all made selfish and evil choices. So this is the person that is going through that kind of suffering. They're physically hurting him, but actually they're doing more than that. They're mocking him. They're saying, okay, you're the Messiah. You're the King of the Jews. Then we're going to rip your clothes off and put on this fake robe. And then we're going to make a crown out of thorns and put it on your head. Now, the thorns would have hurt and tore into the scalp. But it's not the physical pain that hurts as much as the emotional pain. Do you know that they've done studies recently and they put people under brain scans and they can measure parts of the brain that light up under physical pain versus emotional torment. Emotional torment where someone is kind of attacking your identity. And the very same part of the brain that registers acute physical pain lights up like a Christmas tree under emotional attack. When you are being bullied, your brain signals the same kind of pain, sometimes more severe. Why? Because they're attacking his very identity. They're defacing someone who is made in the image of God, and in this case, God. So let me ask you a question. Have you been bullied? Have you been bullied? If you have, the good news today is that he gets it in your notes. That's the first question. Have you been bullied by people? He gets it. I heard a terrible story of a 6-year-old little girl who really struggled to make friends. She just didn't have friends. And one day, kind of the cool kids in her community invited her to a sleepover. And she was so excited. And she went to this little girl's sleepover. But you see, they invited her to the sleepover purely to make fun of her. And so they made fun of her. And then they wrote in Sharpie marker on her forehead, "Weirdo." Now, can you imagine how cruel that is? Kids can be so cruel. And I think there's lots of reasons for that. Namely, we have sin in our heart. They haven't learned empathy. Maybe there's other psychological reasons, but that poor little girl, if that little girl were to grow up and come to Mercy Road Church or listen online, this is what I would say to her. I would say, Jesus was right there with you when that happened to you. And no human being can put a mark on another human being that grace cannot take off, that grace cannot rewrite. And so when God looks at you, he sees beloved and cherished on your forehead. You're his daughter. Now, for some of us, I mean, this just is deep, right? A friend of mine who volunteers with our youth, and I asked her permission to share this story. Her name is Kaisa. Shared with our youth group and the leaders that when she was a little girl, the kids would call her Unspecial K, like the cereal Special K. They were so mean, they would say, "You're Unspecial K. There's nothing special about you." And so she learned to hate recess because they would taunt her and they would physically bully her. And she said, "This has profoundly affected me even as an adult." She's a brilliant volunteer here and leader and just an amazing woman of God. And yet she admits and gave me permission to share this, that it even enters into adulthood. It's kind of hard for her to trust some people because she's always wondering, are you going to just say that I'm unspecial? Are you going to make fun of me? For some of you, if you're really honest, you've had some experiences growing up where people said some things and those words really hurt and they stuck. And you've struggled with insecurity and pain and fear your whole life. If that's you, Jesus gets it. And that is profound. Nobody is in a better position to comfort someone who is diagnosed with cancer than someone who has bravely fought through a cancer diagnosis. Nobody is in a better position to encourage, to come alongside someone who has lost a child than another person who has lost a child and by God's grace kept walking forward. And nobody who has experienced profound, relentless bullying can help that person better than someone who has experienced profound, relentless bullying. Jesus has been bullied more than anyone on the planet. He's mocked even on the cross. So have you been bullied? He gets it, and that's a profound comfort. Secondly, did they make you feel alone and small? That's what bullying does, I'm told, psychologically. When people taunt other people, they're isolating them. They're making them feel alone and small. And I'm pulling that right from the beginning of our text. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium. This is a big palace-like structure, and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. It's one lonely individual, vulnerable, kept up all night, harassed, against a crowd of well-armed soldiers. And that's what it feels like when we as human beings are singled out and bullied. When you felt alone and small, if you feel alone and small right now, Jesus gets it. Jesus gets it. He really gets it. And Jesus loves you. Did they humiliate and hurt you? That's another question. Because bullying does that, right? It's meant to humiliate and it's meant to hurt. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they twisted a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hands. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Do you see the irony there? They're trying to humiliate him. They're so sure that he is not who he says he is. They're saying things like, you saved other people, save yourself. That bit comes later, but they're just kneeling down. Has that ever happened to you where people just kind of basically mocked your very identity, who you are? So you can't do that. For some of you, you've gone through the experience where your own parents did that to you. I'm so sorry that happened to you. For others, it was people who really didn't think that they were wounding you that bad. They thought they were just joking. This is why I often challenge us as a church to be careful about sarcasm. Sarcasm's fun, right? Some of you are very good at it, and you're really funny. You could be like a stand-up comic. And so we're not going to get rid of all sarcasm, but we need to understand. Do you know the root of the word sarcasm means to tear or rip the flesh? Let that just sink in for a little bit. Did they humiliate and hurt you? If they did, Jesus gets it. Fourthly, did they pretend to be kind so they could just make fun of you? Now, this is an interesting part of Scripture. The different gospel accounts record it differently, and so there's some debate about what happened when the soldiers offer wine to Jesus right at the point that they're crucifying him. But this is kind of the best interpretation, I believe, in Matthew's gospel. Basically, what happened in verse 34, there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. What happened there is something like they offered him a painkiller, but they spiked the painkiller with something like vinegar, something so incredibly bitter that it would almost make you want to vomit. Now, think about that. They're torturing, they're mocking, they're inflicting pain, they're abusing, they're bullying, and then comes this moment of mercy. But they're just using mercy as a disguise to hurt, to mock, to wound. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, allowed himself to be mocked to that degree, to the degree that it would literally cause your stomach to turn. Do you realize the implications of that? How much must he love you? How much must he love me? How much must he love every person with a pulse? We're told, after all, that we're made in the very image of God, and so he allows himself to go through that. Has someone extended a kind hand, but really they were just trying to hurt you? It reminds me of Charlie Brown, right? I mean, she's always holding the football for him, right? And then she pulls it out right at the last minute for him to kick. And what's her name? Lucy. Yeah, Lucy. And maybe that's how it starts. It starts with just some small teasing. I'm just being funny. I'm just getting laughs. But the kid on the ground who missed the football, the physical pain starts to turn into emotional pain, and he starts to wonder, do I matter? Do people care about me? What's interesting is Jesus gets to a point where he's so physically and emotionally and mentally exhausted that while he's being made to carry the cross, we're going to go back to that text here, verse 32, he's not able to do it anymore. And the Roman guards escorting him press a citizen, a passerby, into service. They were allowed to do that. You could just kind of point at a citizen and make them walk 1 mile, for example, in certain laws. This is why Jesus said, go the extra mile when unfair things are pressed on you to make you serve. Why don't you just double it? Because that's the kind of love I'm here to show the world. He presses into service this guy named Simon. Verse 32, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. What's fascinating is we have very good archaeological evidence to believe that Simon, as a result of carrying the cross of Christ, became a follower of Christ. So he was probably resentful at first of having to carry this big piece of wood. He didn't know who this guy was, but now, centuries later, we can look back and see that his whole household became followers of Christ. So what was once a resentful action, he just kind of, it was duty, he did it, and then became just this precious thing. I got to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. I got to lift that burden, alleviate his suffering just for a minute second. Now that's interesting. That means when we lift the burdens of other people who are suffering under the emotional turmoil or the physical turmoil of bullying or something like that, it doesn't just help them, it does something to us. And you know this is true. When you show mercy to other people, mercy that will cost you, it changes your heart. I've told this story before, but when I was in high school, I was kind of right on the verge of the popular kid group. And you know how you know if you're in the popular kid group? It's all about where you sit at the lunch table, isn't it? Right? And so I was sitting at the right table, but I saw this kid named Chad, and I couldn't, he just was so alone. And he was so socially awkward, and no one talked to him. But what was worse than that, they relentlessly bullied him. They made fun of him. They would pretend to sit by him and then, like, make fun of him. And it was like I was just ripped out of my chair by the Holy Spirit. Like, I knew this was me about to commit social suicide. Like, no one would let me in the popular table at lunch if I was about to do this. But I felt myself walking with my tray away from the popular table to sit next to Chad. At first, I remember the look in his eyes. It was defensive. What do you want? I just wanted to sit with you, man. Now, what was fascinating is when Chad finally got the message that I was trying to show him kindness, he kind of latched on to me, which caused some more social problems for me because now I kind of had Chad next to me all the time. And I was actually really kind of wondering, how do I get rid of Chad? You know, he's just always there. But I think about him sometimes. I don't know where he ended up. I hung out with him for the rest of high school. And the funny thing is, as socially awkward as he was, I have some of the best memories from high school with him. And the funny thing is, if I wouldn't have gotten out of the chair and been obedient to what I believe is the Holy Spirit pulling me, I don't think I'd be your pastor today. It's those little moments. It's those little acts of obedience that can set you on a course that could change the whole direction of your life. I believe God has raised up people who are listening to this message as protectors and defenders to those who are being bullied. And you know who you are. It rises in your gut, in your spirit, when you see someone being hurt like that, being left out. But the sad reality is the statistics on bullying are that most people say nothing. Most people do nothing. And I've been that guy too. And Devin articulated it perfectly. We say nothing and do nothing because what if the target gets put on us? What if we become Chad? What if people don't want to sit with us at the table? When a person is being bullied, they need someone to do something. What is that something? They need someone to carry their cross. Are you willing to carry the cross of other people that God puts in your path? Are you really? Are you willing to be associated with them? Are you willing to encourage them, to be sad with them? Are you willing to defend them, to be with them, to love them? I came across kind of an interesting little story. Chai Johnson suffers from a brain disorder that has compromised her mental capabilities. After bullies called her daughter names and threw trash at her, Chai's mother, Elizabeth Johnson, decided to intervene. She asked Carson Jones, the high school's starting quarterback, to inform her of the students who were teasing her daughter. Bold move, Mom. I like that. One day, Jones spotted Chai in the lunchroom and invited her to sit with his teammates. Soon, Chai had a group of friends that she calls her boys. To Carson Jones, his act of tremendous kindness and bravery was no big deal. Little does he know that his actions have protected Chai from further bullying. We could all learn a lesson from him. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life that you and I can't live. He died the death that sin merits, that it deserves, in our place. And then he rose again, inviting us into new life. And he did all that not only to reconcile the relationship, but to relate to us. Are you going through it? Are you being bullied? He gets it. Now, the most inspiring thing we've talked about this morning, I think, is when people step in and defend, like this quarterback. When they do that, that's exciting. We all know that's right. And so there's a part of me that wants to say, God, why don't you step in more? Why don't you step in when that 6-year-old little girl is being invited to that party? First of all, we don't know that he isn't intervening thousands of times a day. We have no idea what's happening in the spiritual realm. Second of all, what if he has stepped in? What if stepping in and standing up to the bully looks not like a show of strength, but a show of profound weakness, of letting himself be the very object of cosmic bullying? That is the claim of the Christian faith. God stepped in, and he's coming back to make everything right. So when we suffer, we can know that he gets it, and we can know that he's got it. Let's pray. God, thank you for this fifth Sunday with these kids. Thank you for this series. It's a heavy one. So, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to each one of us. Would you remind us that we're made in your image? That when we bully each other or someone bullies us, we're defacing heavenly property. Lord, some of us, we bully ourselves. Teach us to not do that. Lord, thank you that you do step in, and you did step in. And stepping in, standing up to the bully, defending us, looks like death on a cross. Looks like being mocked. Looks like being bullied yourself. This is a mystery. We don't understand it all, but we are so grateful for it. Father, for those who are skeptics hearing this, maybe the pain of their own experiences make them feel far from you. Would you come close to them in a way they understand? And maybe for the first time, would they put their trust in your love, in your provision for them? For any of us, for all of us, we thank you that you get it. In Jesus' name, amen.